If I call to order the regular session of the Borough Mayor and Council for Monday, January 23rd, 2017, has been our longstanding tradition for many decades. I'd like to ask everyone to join the Mayor and Council in reciting the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
That's a little bit of our ordinary procedure, but it's, I think, very appropriate, and very pleased to introduce everyone who's here tonight, whether a town employee or someone with business before the council, the press, or just someone who finds this an enjoyable way to spend a really lousy Monday evening otherwise. I'd like to have Mr. David Deutsch come forward and so I can introduce him. Mr. Deutsch is, as of tomorrow, is a new project coordinator, first time creating a position for what we, as we all do now, what we label temporarily, Berlin Falls Park, and basically has a wide range of duties because it's not just a park, it's not just about activities. It is trying to meet a variety of needs that were expressed 2 years ago when we had our strategic planning sessions. We need another 60 acres, and we still wouldn't get everything accomplished. And they're all good things, but there are some things that are unique to this property, and that I also believe will be unique and very special for the residents of this town. It'll fill some needs in terms of recreation and environment, and all kinds of things that we just don't have at all. But it also will give us some unique attributes that I think can be a source of community pride and also make us an even stronger destination community, which is vital to our town economy. So Mr. Deutsch has served since 1993 as the town administrator. Is that the appropriate title?
City manager.
Okay. They have cities on the other side. He comes from the other side. A buoy, okay, and he was there, and then he was a city manager prior to that. He has retired in the summer, and immediately after a short vacation, has been filling in as the interim city manager for Frederick.
Westminster.
It's been a while since I've been in Westminster. But in any case, his background, I think, is. We all agree that the council had a chance to meet with him. Laura and I, we went through a process that started June or July and had a number of good applicants. But this is a very unique challenge, and so we just kept looking and looking and looking until we found someone we really have confidence in who has not only the experience but has the drive, the energy, and he also has chosen to live here. He lives in what we all call East Berlin, which is what people over there call Ocean Pines. But we didn't hold that against him at all. Now, we have many good friends in East Berlin, and so that's where his home is now, and he's had a home here for about 15 years. And if you just say a few remarks, I would say also to contact if the press or anybody wishes to interview Mr. Deutsch, just contact Laura tomorrow and she'll get you hooked up. David?
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for your remarks. I look forward to working with you and your colleagues and with Laura
and the staff and members of the community in moving the Berlin Falls Park project forward. It's a great opportunity for the community, and I appreciate the confidence that you've demonstrated in me. Look forward to being part of a team. Clearly, it's going to be a team effort, and you know, once the project goes through a couple of phases, I think the community will be really amazed at what can be produced out there, and you know, developing consensus as we go through the project will be part of where I think I can be helpful in facilitating the various kinds of community meetings and those kinds of things that need to happen. So I look forward to working with you and your colleagues and the staff and the community. So thank you. And I'll be here for a while tonight. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, I guess now we're finally at the first item on the agenda, and the approval of the regular session minutes of January 9th.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion by Councilmember Gouyas to approve the regular session minutes as proposed. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed. Let the record show that the vote was unanimous and that all council members are present. Next, number two, Laura and I had the opportunity of meeting this gentleman that we're about to introduce you to. Gosh, was that just last month? So much has happened. And I think we're very happy to introduce to you Bucky Luffman. That's L-U-F-F-M-A-N. He's the Intergovernmental Affairs Representative and Eastern Shore Liaison for the governor. And so, Bucky, you'll come up and... happy to have you back in Berlin.
Thank you,
by the way. He's known Berlin well.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. So I just started in November. I'll give you a little background on myself and then kind of what my role is with the governor's office. So before I started with him in November, I was the deputy mayor of Del Mar, and I was also planning and zoning chairman for Del Mar, Maryland, Del Mar, Delaware. And I actually represented this area as the district's vice president in MML's board, so I had District 1. A year before that, I was at large for the MML board, so I served a little over a year on MML's board. Before that, I also worked for Delegate Anderton, who represents Delmar, Salisbury, Fruitland, and Wicomico County in the General Assembly for 2 years, and I was a water operator and a wastewater operator before that, so I have a lot of local government experience. So what this job is like the title says, I'm the liaison. I have from Cecil to Somerset County, and I go and I meet with local governments, county and municipal. I have 56 municipalities and 9 counties. And so this is what I do every night, Monday through Thursday night. This is what I do. I go to council meetings. So thankfully, no one on the Eastern Shore does council meeting on Friday, so I get my Friday off.
I think that's the law.
It should be. It should be. But the kind of things I can do is I've had, you know, towns ask, we want to do a wastewater upgrade. We have no idea who to talk to. So I'll put you in contact with the right person. Or I haven't had this, but if there was a state agency you were working with that, you know, weren't communicating quick enough for you, that kind of thing, then certainly I can help with that and find out what a holdup is or, you know, that kind of thing. So the two things I don't do is I'm not a spokesperson for the governor. He has people for that. And I don't do anything legislatively because he's got other people for that. So I'm just truly focused on local government and the interaction with state government. So that's it. So if Kelsey has my card, I gave her enough for everybody. But you know, if you have any questions or anything, I'll certainly. You know.
Well, first of all, Buddy, we're very pleased that you're here, that you've taken the time to formally introduce yourself, but also want to thank you for coming by last month and informally letting us get to know you a bit. I have to say, I'm very happy that a person in your position has experience right on the front lines with municipal government. And that in itself, we have found to always be a big plus. And I know that you're not the governor's spokesman, but we've had a very, very good experience with the current Governor Hogan and his administration on a variety of things. I anticipate that continuing. We are a nonpartisan governmental unit here.
Sure.
And we have our agreements and disagreements, but they don't get into the realm of partisanship. And we basically, we like to work with people who believe in us. And people that do, we welcome them with open arms. We don't expect something for nothing. And we hope to continue to earn the support and trust of the current administration and our many friends in the legislature.
Yeah. And I should tell you, I know that, you know, you guys voted the coolest town in America, but I also, this weekend on Saturday, I had the best fish taco I've ever had in my life at Finn's, so that could be another award that you got. And I've had fish tacos in San Francisco, Los Angeles, San Diego, Florida. I've had them all over the United States, and that is by far the best one I've ever had. So.
Who has that on?
Yeah. So.
Does anyone have any questions for Bucky?
Well, thank you for taking the time to introduce yourself.
Oh, sure.
I think I saw you at the MML Legislative Center.
Yeah, and at Fishman's Inn, yep.
Thank you very much.
Okay,
we look forward to seeing you.
Yeah, definitely.
We've got your card, so look out.
Yeah. And I will be back. So I'm doing kind of a round, you know, of the 56 municipalities and 9 counties, but I won't be back next month. But eventually, you know, I will be around. I can plan to continue to, even after I'm done with that first round. So.
Thank you.
All right.
When Bucky was here before, he and I took a little tour around Portland.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good. Well, you obviously thought those were fences.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank you, and good luck, and have a safe trip.
All right.
Next, item 3 on the agenda is we have an event request from the Hale House Museum for a chamber after-hours event, and Carol Rhodes and Jan Quick are going to make the presentation. Hello.
Hi there.
If we all have your bit for the press and anyone else, if you just identify yourselves and what hat you're wearing tonight.
Go ahead, Jan. You're
Jan Quick, president of the Berlin Heritage Foundation, which is the Calvin B. Taylor Museum.
Carol Rose, I'm a director of the board of the Taylor House Museum.
Thank you.
First, I want to thank you all, though, for all the nice things that happened to us. We have a lot of things that need to be done at the museum, and the town's always been very helpful. There are 4 events that are coming into play. We do the afternoon on the lawn. We do concerts on the lawn. We're doing the Peach Festival again. And then we do the classical Christmas, which we just finished up with this year. But we are trying to branch out more into the community all the time. We are setting up some new things with the schools, and we are having different opening hours, which Ivy will be happy to hear. We are going to try to do 11 to 3 when we do open, which is from May to the end of October, and that will allow people who are staying in the town, like the ones that stay with me at the bed and breakfast or the hotel or the other bed and breakfast, to have something to do in the morning. We've never opened before 1 o'clock, and we find that's a desire. Part of the reason for having the chamber after hours is so that we can introduce some of these new things to the chamber people. They are used to, I shouldn't blame them, but they are used to having a glass of wine or a beer at their events. And so that's why we've come to you to ask if it's okay. It's a contained event inside the house, but we need your approval to be able to offer that to them, and hope that all of you will come also.
Yeah, we want you all to please come and
this
have
is April
tour.
The 27th. I think you probably all have a paper.
There's a letter.
Okay. April 27th from 5 to 7 inside the museum so that they can see what the museum looks like. I'm still amazed, always, when someone says they're from here and they haven't been inside the museum.
That is amazing. I'd say I think it's a wonderful opportunity, too, for all of them. We have so many new citizens who live here, but we also have so many folks who own businesses in Berlin, or their employees work in Berlin, but who have never been to the museum.
Right, and they can't come because they're working.
They're working.
So this
exactly.
So perfect, yes.
And hopefully this will add to the things that they can suggest for people to do, and there's nothing like firsthand exposure and experience to be ambassadors for the museum. So. I'm hopeful that we will
question.
Okay.
We have a motion by Council Member Purnell to approve the request for a Taylor House Museum to host a Berlin Chamber of Commerce After Hours event on April 27th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., which would include permission from the town to serve beer and wine for that two-hour period only. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Opposed.
Okay. Thank
you very much. Okay.
Thank you.
I think the new hours would be perfect. Last year, my wife and I tried to stop in, and the hours never quite fit.
Okay, great. Well, we look forward to having you visit with us.
Thank you.
Okay. Now we're on item number four, and this is a donation request for baseball field lighting, for a baseball field lighting project. From Tripper
Exer.
Yep. Again, if you would just plus tell one. What role or what have you, because everybody here wears all for one. It's all about.
Absolutely. Good evening. Thank you for having us. My name is Tripper Hexer. I'm the recently elected treasurer of Berlin Little League. And this is Jocelyn Snelsire, and she is the long-term secretary of Berlin Little League.
Secretary for life, right?
Not, if she
can, not if she can help it, but I don't think it's up to her anymore. We've come here today to make a request that the town donate the labor portion of the estimate given to us by Mr. Tim Lawrence. As a league, we've had a very successful history. I've only been a part of it for, this will be my fourth year. My kids are younger. So my oldest is nine, so I've been in it since he's been in T-ball. But from my understanding, the history has been long and successful. The calendar, whether it be the weather, we can't start the season earlier than the first week in April, or at the end of the season in sort of mid-June, we have to stop there because of postseason tournaments. So as the league grows, as the town grows, and the demand of the number of kids who want to play grow, we can't extend the season out date-wise. But what we can do is extend the hours in the day during which we can play. Jocelyn and I have done some research into what it would cost to install lights. We looked into two different fields because we have the smaller field, which would be a four-pole system, and then the larger field, which is a six-pole system. So as the, my request letter says, I met with Tim in November at the fields, and he put together a very detailed quote for us, broken down into labor materials and then third-party labor, not to include the lights, which I've addressed the cost of them in the letter. As a league, we met this past week and decided to not only move forward, but specifically that we've reached out to Ray Thompson and Taylor Bank, who has agreed to give us a note for $50,000 as long as we raise the money for the other $50,000. So we have started our fundraising
campaign.
Thank you. We've gotten $7,500 so far out of the $50 needed to get the matching note. Given that what these lights can do for the town, as far as allowing the league to grow, allowing more children in the community to play, and then down the road as possibly hosting tournaments, which there's an intermediate regional tournament which we are have been nominated to host, which would bring young men and their families, obviously, to the town for a week-long tournament in late July. And this is a regional, so it is to include as far north. Currently, it's being held in Long Island. So it covers New York, New Jersey, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, I believe.
Maryland, Delaware, D.C.
So it would certainly bring people to the town as well. And I think that there's a fairly good shot that we would get it. Having the lights on the field just sort of takes that lead to the next level. So we are here to, as I said earlier, to request that the town donate the labor portion of the estimate once we get our finances moving forward. And as a side note, I would like to thank Tim for meeting me out at the fields and spending so much time and being so prompt with all the estimates and detail. He's been great to work with. So thank you, Tim.
You're welcome.
I think it's been obvious for a long time. I think we were talking a little earlier about Little League. It's been around at least since the 1950s. I think one of the oldest living Little Leaguers in Berlin is Joe Moore. But it's become not just that team, but the entire operation has been a source of community pride for generations. And I do know from our experience here as a citizen and also as a member of the council and now as mayor, that facility is one of the best in the state. Mm-hmm. It didn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. It did take a couple generations, but it continues to improve, and quite frankly, I think improvements have accelerated in the last decade or so. And it's a community asset on a number of levels, and certainly the most important thing is that youngsters, boys and girls, from the greater Berlin area, get to enjoy it. But the fact that it also has developed into another source of economic impact for the community because of the tournaments, I can see nothing but good coming from that. It brings good people, mm-hmm. good folks with children and families, and they just don't go to the ball fields because you can know when the tournaments are going on because the kids, they're still in their uniforms, and their parents, you see them all over, up and down downtown Berlin, and the shops. We wish to, I think you should be very proud. You've got big shoes to fill because the people have been before you. But I don't think there's any doubt that I think you're, at least in this region, a leader in the Little League system. Does anyone have any questions?
Yeah, question. Who's the president
now? Norman Bunting.
You're still the president?
Yes, sir.
He's still there.
Serving 10 years.
Oh, he's been there longer than me. He's been there longer than 10 years.
Did I say
that? I see. I have a copy of this invoice. I guess Tim prepared. And it has a section entitled Labor. Is this the section?
Correct.
And could you describe for me the activities that would entail, just what this labor would be?
Yes, sir. Basically, we would have to drill the holes for the bases for the poles, which are 13 feet deep and 30 inches around. Just to let you know, we don't have the equipment to do that. I reached out to Delmarva Power and Choptank Electric. And the contractor for Delmarva Power and Choptank Electric have actually decided to partner with the Town of Berlin and Berlin Little League to make this project happen. They're going to provide, we don't have a bucket truck tall enough to reach 70-foot poles, so they're going to, the contractor is C.W. Wright. They're the ones replacing the transmission poles from Salisbury here. They're actually going to donate the equipment to drill the holes and also the bucket trucks to reach the top of the poles. And then Choptank Electric is going to help provide labor to install the poles, put them together, put the bases in. We have to pull wire through conduit. I talked with Tripper. What we've decided to do is we're looking at directional boring instead of trenching, because if we do trenching, it's going to really tear the fields up. So we're looking at directional boring, which the company has basically cut the cost dramatically to reduce the expense to the Little League. And so basically, it's installing all the lighting system, poles, the bases, the wire, the transformer to feed the power to it, that type of thing.
So all of this can be accomplished directly being provided by the town or with a partnership
That's correct.
Another agency.
They pretty much made that commitment. If we make the commitment, are they?
Yes, sir. I've already spoken with both of them.
So I take it that you would be able to handle this with your regular workload and whatever else you have to do.
Yes, sir.
There's nothing from the Public Service Commission that would prohibit us from doing this, is there?
I don't believe so.
No, there isn't.
So I am Blue League supporter. I am aware of what the Little League does for the town, and as described by Dave, with no dollars being spent for this extra work that we cannot do in house, I move to approve.
We have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to approve the labor by the Berlin Electric Utility in the estimated amount value of $13,680, give or take a dollar, and this is for the installation of a 6-pole system at this time. And I think this is before the new season.
We can't. It's going to be dependent upon the money, but yes.
We'd like to.
More than likely, to be honest, it's going to happen after the season begins.
Just one more question.
Yes, sir.
This would count in your portion of the match.
No, this is over and above. So we have to still raise $50,000, and then they will give us a note for $50,000, and then this is above. Because subtracting the $13,680, you get to, it's about
$99,000. Okay. All right. We have a motion by Councilman Burrell to approve the Berlin Little League request. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Congratulations.
Thank you.
Best of luck with your fundraising and this is exciting.
Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you. Work with you. Item number 5 on the agenda, there are 5A and 5B, both are EDU, or equivalent dwelling unit arrangement agreements, and basically that's just another way of saying water and sewer hookups. So,
Kim Justice is here for Atlantic General Hospital.
Good. Thank you.
And
you'll just introduce yourself and title for the
woman. Sure. Kim Justice. I'm the Vice President of Planning and Operations with Atlantic General Hospital.
There's no one here to left.
She's coming.
I'm sorry. So we're basically, we've got the letter of support. I thought the presentation with pictures of the press. Atlantic General Hospital
is looking to construct a cancer center at what I would call the edge of their property. They have looked at the EDU allocation for the Barrett Medical office building, and they are not using 4 of the EDUs that have been allocated to that building.
That's the Barrett building.
That's the Barrett building. I've asked Jane, who unfortunately wasn't able to attend tonight, to confirm that those 4 EDUs are not being used, and she did. So the request tonight is for those 4 EDUs to be transferred from the Barrett Medical Building over to the new Cancer Center, which is proposed at the corner of Route 113 and Old Ocean City Boulevard. In addition, the hospital would also be purchasing 4 EDUs because the cancer center needs a total of 8 EDUs. So they would reach the 8 by doing 2 things. One, transferring for their building, which is currently not purchasing.
But already purchased.
But already purchased, right. And then allocating, I'm sorry, purchasing an additional four that's going to get up to eight.
Any additional comments you want to make?
No, it's pretty straightforward.
Glad you're able to make it tonight.
Thank you.
Hey, we can check out the medical. It's like the copper just didn't have no shoes. You said taking care of everybody else, and I think I'll take care of yourself.
I make a motion that we go ahead and approve this request.
I have one question.
Sure.
Are the four EDUs not being used because it's a vacant area associated with?
No. The originally, when the Barrett building was built, it was a shell, so it was allocated 15 EDUs, not knowing all the uses. Okay. It's been fully occupied now for over a year.
And there's no reason that you would need those four units now?
No.
EDUs down the
road. And Jane, okay. Jane confirms that assessment. Mm-hmm.
Perfect. Thank you.
I just have a question for Dave. Dave, I work at the hospital. Can I vote?
Gaskell.
You're an employee?
Yes.
You probably should abstain.
I'd like to make a motion. Councilman Brittingham made a motion to approve the transfer of 40 EDUs that currently have been purchased and assigned to the Barrett Medical Office Building to AGH's new cancer center building, and that they also would be buying or purchasing an additional four EDUs for a total of eight. So pretty much the this is the motion we have before us from Councilman Brittingham. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Absolutely. Abstain.
Okay. The motion passes. And we very much appreciate you being here, and do hope you feel better soon. And good luck with all of you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next, under item 5 on the agenda is we have a request for EDUs for Oceans East. I believe we had a pretty somewhat extended discussion about it. So, it would be best for someone to summarize what we discussed before so that everyone knows, of course, what we're being asked the council to approve.
Right. Mr. Rainier is before you today asking for an EDU allocation for 48 new EDUs for the next two buildings in his project. The last time he was before the mayor and council, he requested an allocation agreement, 24 EDUs for one building. This would enable him, this motion you're making tonight would enable him to be ready to permit the next two buildings as quickly as he's ready. You will see him come again periodically over the next several months as he is ready to get those next couple of buildings in the first phase of his development ready for permitting. So you will see him again, and tonight he's asking for 48 EDUs, which will put him in a position to go ahead and get the permits he needs for his next two buildings in this first phase of the project.
And correctly, doesn't matter that assuming if this is approved, then you would have EDUs allocated and purchased for three of the buildings?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. It's just trying to keep track. Okay. We had a discussion about this before, but certainly, does anyone have any questions for Mr. Rainier?
So this would be going 4 and 5 tonight.
Yeah, so it's we're going backwards counterclockwise. Yeah, right. 6 was the first time, and we're 5 and 4 tonight.
Okay. So we're 5. Eventually, we'll get to 1.
Yes.
The countdown. Okay. Anyone have any other questions for Mr. Rainier?
I'd make a motion to allocate the 48 EDUs to Ocean View Project.
Okay, we have a motion by Councilmember Purnell to approve the 48 EDUs as requested for Ocean's East project on Seahawk Road. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate your time.
We're looking forward to seeing you soon again, because every time we see you, you're making progress.
Very good. Thank you.
It's like a lot of progress.
Yeah, we're excited about it. This is the fun part.
Very good. Number six on our agenda is a resolution to authorize EDU finance, or create an EDU financing policy that is extends, I guess, basically extends to residential.
The way we have it arranged in here, it's for residential and commercial small properties. Yeah. Well, so the mayor and council from time to time have approved requests from individuals who are interested in financing EDUs, and what this policy does is codify that practice and reinforce your preference to finance EDUs for smaller projects. The policy provides financing for up to five EDUs for up to 5 years at a time, with a financing charge of 3% annually. The goal of this is to ensure consistent application of the policy across all requests. The way that we have it structured here is there would be an application. Developers would come in, or folks who have small projects would come in. They would fill out the application. The application would be reviewed based on the criteria in the policy by myself, and then I would make the determination. The applicant would have the ability to appeal if I deny the request. They would appeal to mayor and council as part of their follow-up. The staff is recommending that you establish a policy to ensure that you've got consistent application of your interest in financing and use.
And if I recall, because one of the incentives, besides the consistency, is the fact that we're trying to encourage the smaller projects, which quite frankly are very compatible with our existing community. And ironically, smaller projects, which are very suitable for the town of Berlin, sometimes are the hardest to finance. So this kind of evens the playing field a bit, so that we have a policy that encourages smaller residential units and smaller commercial units.
Right. And it would apply equally to undeveloped property, as well as those properties that are currently on septic or well systems that are interested in transitioning over to town or.
Which is good for the environment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why would an application be denied?
If they requested more than the number of EDUs, if they wanted to finance them for a longer period of time, those really would be the reasons. The way I've designed this is to make it really straightforward so that folks can understand, here's the criteria under which you can apply, and if you don't meet the criteria, you're going to be told no. But we still have the option in here, actually in abundance of fairness, to give folks the opportunity, if they're told no, to appeal to the mayor and council.
And wouldn't that be defeating the purpose of this deal, of this resolution? Because you started with this resolution would make sure everybody is treated the same. Mm-hmm. And it would actually take it out of our hands and have this, because if this passes, this would be a staff action.
Correct.
I really have problems with us still having to deal with the exceptions.
Okay.
So basically, you're recommending that it, and again, the council will obviously have to make a preliminary motion to amend this resolution, that we take away the ability for the applicant to appeal. Is that the problem?
Yes. Yes. Otherwise, this sets a limit on time, and you go through this process, and you make application, everybody's treated the same. And we said small projects. So we are defining a small project as five or less EDUs.
Correct.
I don't think there is a need for a clause or a field.
Does anyone else like to address it? Basically, from a practical matter, it means the last paragraph. If you agree with Councilman Burrell's thoughts here, that would be stricken from Resolution 2017-01. And as I understand it, David, we would have to have two motions, one to amend it first,
yes.
And then to see if the amended, if the amended version didn't happen.
That's correct.
I have a question about the 3%. How was the benchmark created to say that we're going to finance at 3%?
That was based on my conversation with the finance director, our review of what it would take to sort of manage this kind of an arrangement, and an interest in making sure that we're not providing free financing Really, what would happen is most people would have to go to a bank to get financing. This, and we'd be paying some kind of an interest charge. I think, in the interest of protecting the town, it makes sense to cover the costs, the administrative costs, as well as making sure that it's fair and balanced with regard to what a bank might end up charging.
So, if we pass the ordinance, is there a time at which the ordinance expires, or is it indefinite until abolished by the mayor and council?
Yeah, it's a resolution that stays in place until you choose to change it.
Can I make a recommendation that we change the 3% to the prime rate, which is what the banks would use to lend to one another, so that as the markets fluctuate, it's at a benchmark that's equal to what somebody would gain financing elsewhere?
Great. One of the reasons why we chose a flat interest rate as opposed to pegging it to some kind of floating rate is administratively it's easier, just a set flat rate that everybody here agrees to, rather than pegging it, which every time we get up one of these applications, we have to go figure out what the interest rate is. For us, it's just simpler if we have a flat rate. It's easier to administer.
If it's done for simplicity, then I can understand that. One other question, is there a clause that would say that all debt would have to be settled with a property owner before they would be eligible for financing? So if I had like outstanding utility bills or outstanding EDUs already on the table, those would have to be paid off before we would move forward with financing anything else?
The council has a policy of requiring folks when they come to make a request to the council to have all their accounts paid up in full.
Perfect.
We would apply that same standard here.
It wasn't always that way, and it's made life so much mm-hmm. better for the professional staff and for us not to be caught in the middle of how much is still left to pay and all that. And it really, and once it became more inside the same standard for everyone, miraculously, Bill has got there. It's amazing.
So I'd like to move to amend that 3 cents.
Sure, sure.
Why was that bond?
Well, the idea was to encourage small
projects
the counterbalance there was we have had requests from large developers, and I have some professional hesitation with the town financing EDUs for larger developers. So to me, it's a policy decision that the council gets to make based on the land use that the town has in place. My recommendation is that you focus on small, but it's within the council's discretion if you choose to do it.
I don't agree. The diet of small, what's small? 1,000 integration east is 200 communities from small. I don't see giving a benefit. I mean, I have no problem putting a policy together for the finance. When we first did this, it was to try to help encourage the development to start up again and to get rid of the infill, to try to get these infill projects and some other stuff. No, I just don't see a reason to limit it to a number.
I mean, 5 is still pretty big, right? I mean, considering you could build up to 12,000 square foot.
Well, it's unfortunate Jane wasn't able to be here tonight, because when she looked at the number of financing EDU requests, there's like a break between 5 and 6 and then much larger projects. So from our perspective, 5 seemed like the right number to peg it to encourage smaller projects.
even the project.
To finish with Troy's thought as well, this is why I think we absolutely need to lead in this last paragraph, so that if something does rear its ugly head, they can come up before the mayor and council, and we can look in front of it. I don't think we're going to be flooded with people wanting to.
I don't want a resolution that could be interpreted like that guy just walked over here and having 48 EDUs. I don't want that even to be a consideration. I don't want us to be subsidizing developers with taxpayers' dollars.
I agree with you.
I think defining what is small as defined in this resolution is workable and will keep it in the right perspective in which this practice has been intended.
And I've got no problem with the number.
Because this has been a practice that we've had. We've done this for folks. And I believe keeping it too small, almost individual considerations, is the way we need to go.
My only concern is taking out that next paragraph. We don't know what's going to happen 2, 3, 4 years down the road. And if somebody has that right to appeal, you're taking it right off the table. They can't even take it to court if they want to. And I don't think that's fair. They should be able to come before us if they have questions or are concerned they want to appeal something.
Well, let me jump in here. This is a resolution that can be amended or abolished by the council next week. Every week, and you change it every time you come to me.
That's not realistic.
I know, but what I'm saying is, you're not boxed into this, whatever the number is.
So if we see
if there's a problem in the future, and someone brings that to your attention, you can revisit this issue and change it if you want. That's what I'm saying.
But it's not the number I have a problem with. It's deleting that last paragraph, because I think Laura went through a lot of thought about this.
So I would like to move that resolution 2017-01 be amended to remove the last paragraph.
We'll take this just like before. We'll take this first amendment and vote on, and the council will vote on that, and then see if there's interest in the overall resolution. So now we have a motion by Councilmember Burrell to delete the last paragraph of Resolution 2017-01, which allows any applicant to basically appeal a decision by the town administrator to the full mayor and council. Is that fair? So, all in favor? All opposed?
Opposed.
We did get three votes here. So we got three in opposition. Three opposed, one favor, one abstention. Mm-hmm. So the motion fails. And now the council must determine if you wish to proceed with the resolution as it was originally proposed or not. Yeah, that's basically
changing the percentage. The percentage
of the financing. Yeah. I wouldn't recommend changing it.
If it's done for simplicity, I think that all related. Right. We're not on that.
So. Just
does anyone wish to make a motion?
Fine, I'll make the motion.
Okay. We have a motion to approve a resolution 2017-01 as originally proposed and presented to the mayor and council on tonight's agenda. Agenda item 6. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed?
Okay.
One. So the motion passes 4-1. Thank you. That was very, very interesting and good discussion. And that's what everyone's here for. Great. Next, let's see, departmental reports. Natalie will be here, right?
Right.
Mary Baldwin, the administrative services. Just a couple of quick things. The Parks Commission, the next Parks Commission meeting, which would normally be scheduled for Tuesday, February 7th, has been moved back a week. It will actually be on Tuesday, January 31st, just to accommodate some scheduling conflicts. Same time, 5:30 p.m. in the conference room. And I will be meeting later this week with a representative of Maryland State Archives. We're still in the process of nailing down our records retention schedule, and there are many, many more aspects to that than one might think. But he's actually going to be on site to sit down and go over some of the language directly, and hopefully we will have this done before too long.
Excuse me, Mary, what is the summit you have?
Wednesday, I'm not sure about the time. I can certainly let you know.
If you would.
Sure.
Would it be okay if I just sat in and just listened?
Sure.
Okay. Just let me know.
Yes,
please.
Okay.
Has there been any progress with the restroom?
Oh, yes, actually, I'm sorry. I did mean to bring that up as well. Staff has reviewed, we ended up receiving two additional bids from the same original two companies, but their bids were slightly different this time. Staff has reviewed that extensively and is prepared to make a recommendation at the next council meeting. What we're looking at now is the possibility of some additional grant funding and figuring out the finer points of getting the project done. But we definitely do have a recommendation.
And we're still on track to make the application for Steve Decatur Park restrooms.
The application has already been submitted. I expect, typically we hear back on this particular program mid to late summer.
Thank you. Thank you. Next is Electric Utility Director Phil Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I have a few things to report on. Most of the past week or two, we've been doing a lot of maintenance issues because of the bad weather we've had. We really can't do any large projects because of all the rain that we're getting. But we have completed some things. Number 5 Bay Street, we had a faulted underground service that we repaired. With all the rain, I've had the crews out doing various locations, doing pole inventory as far as checking the base of poles to see if they're rotten and need to be replaced, that type of thing. Then also, number 6 Decatur Street, there was a new house that was built. We installed a underground service to the house, and it's energized and the meter set. Then also, 10127 Germantown Road, we upgraded an overhead service from 100 amp to a 200 amp service at the request of the homeowner. Also, we have a device called the Bantam Plus meter tester. That's a device that we purchased a couple years back. We're basically mandated by the Public Service Commission to have that instrument calibrated once a year to satisfy the Public Service Commission, so we had them come in and do that. We also assisted the sewer department with replacing a pump on West Street that had some issues with it. In various locations, we've been doing tree trimming, and then also 517 Bay Street, which is Bay Terrace Apartments. That's the ones they have been renovating. Building C, the new services are installed for the new meter base and troughs that they installed on the walls. We're actually connecting that tomorrow. And then Wednesday, we have meter readings going to start for the end of the month.
Okay. Does anyone have any questions for Tim? And next is the Police Chief Arl Downing.
Nothing to report this evening.
All right, thank you very much. And next is Planning and Zoning Director Dave Engelhardt.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Just one short item. I think it's good news. I spoke with the Maryland Delaware Railroad's representative on Friday. About a week previous to that, he asked me to send him a Stern email talking about the Bikeways grant program that we got awarded the funds for, but we can't execute a grant agreement with MDOT and the Bikeways program till we have that in place. So he called me Friday and said, "It worked. Their board instructed me to put together whatever language. He hasn't revealed the package to me yet, but he thought he would have that information to me this week. I had not, he said early this week, but I didn't see anything today. So
that's very good.
Because we're in a standstill till MDOT is not going to enter into that, you know, execute that grant agreement.
Of course.
And then we didn't want to step forward and have a scope of work and look for the designers or the surveyors, the engineers, all that we're going to need. And I just made it clear when the clock's ticking, you already wasted 2 months of our time in a, 24-month period. And he said it worked. They instructed me to move forward.
That definitely, I think, you can consider good.
Yep.
Very much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Next is Economic and Community Development Director Audie Well.
I'm a little stoppy, so excuse me if I sound like I'm even more from New York than I really am. good evening, Mayor, Council. It's good to see everybody tonight. Just a few things. Number one, to add what Council Member Zach said, before anyone can apply for a facade grant, also, they must be up to date on everything that they owe to the town. So that's in place for the facade grants as well, just in case anyone wondered about that. That's also the case. What I've been working on is I've finally got up and running the mobile version of BerlinMainStreet.com. So there is now a mobile version of that. I've also done some updates, added Berlin Falls Park and did some minor updates to that as well. On Saturday, I'll be speaking at the event at the Globe for ShortGraphBeer.com because it's February next month and the town is designated that to be so. And everyone's invited. There'll be some free beer samples, and we'll be talking about, I'll be talking about the economic impact of craft beer specifically to Berlin. That's on Saturday. And also, just a reiteration about our Valentine's Day events on Saturday, February 11th, we'll be having Kids Craft at the Welcome Center from 11 to 3. Bring your kids down, and they can decorate a bag and walk around to the different shops, and all the shop owners will be giving the kids Valentine's that day. And then also for the carriage rides on Tuesday night, February 14th from 4 to 8 p.m. Let me know if you'd like to participate in that. It's $30 for a carriage ride. It's a 15-minute carriage ride and comes with chocolates and bubbly, non-alcoholic bubbly, and a rose from Bleach Butterfly. Those are actually filling up. I don't think I have half of them already full already. And then I've been working with some of the property owners about getting some of their vacancies filled. Specifically Jay Berge. And then also I wanted to add that the DHCD new grant training seminar, they're using the photo of downtown Berlin for their photo. So everyone sees that when they need to do their training. So I thought that was pretty impressive. And then also on January 31st, Laura and I will be conducting an event discussion here in council chambers at 8:30 a.m. for merchants and anyone who wants to come to talk about our events on January 31st at 8:30. And that's it.
Good. Yeah, it's all very, very good news, especially during the middle of the winter. Looks like there's so much more happening than it used to. Thank you. Thank you to all the volunteers as well. And finally, we have Managing Director Jeff.
Well, to be honest, I don't like following Ivy this any longer because she gets out all the good stuff, you know. But seriously, we did receive final payment for the power plant water damage that we had to engine number 5. That total amount that we received was $85,000 and change. The cost of the repairs was about $95,000. However, I don't have that number coming to him. The upgrades that was done to the engine pit for the pumps and the oil water separator, that was borne by us, but $85,000 came back to the town. W-2s, 1095, and total comp statements I have right here, so hopefully they'll be out by the end of the week. Just got to make sure the numbers match where they should be. And then to be announced, but it'll be sometime probably the third week of February is what I'm shooting for, and it'll be well broadcast to you folks. We'll be sitting and doing the fine tuning on benefit renewal for fiscal year 18.
Great.
Thank you.
Anybody have any questions for Jeff? All right, next is our town administrator's report.
So Natalie wasn't able to make it tonight, but she did ask me to let the mayor and council and the public know that the Energy Fund received $4,140 in contributions this year, which is the highest number we've ever had in the town. We'll be matching that with $4,140 from the electric fund. So I thought that was really
heartwarming announcement.
The West Street project is expected to start on February 1st. We're just pinning down road closure dates and whether it's going to be a full closure or partial closure. I should have that to you in the next day or so. And then the Flower Street culvert project is moving along. The headwalls are going in spite of the fact that it's raining like crazy. They're still continuing to work on that project, and so that's moving along.
On that Flower Street project, I noticed today a little concerned because the water was up almost to the level of the landowners.
Yep, they've got pumps on site, and they weren't running the pumps for some reason, I think yesterday, but they've got the pumps running today. Darrell's been out there twice, once this morning and once this afternoon after I met with him at 3 o'clock. So.
I was kind of concerned that it wasn't flowing as fast as it should, because I started at West Street. West Street was nothing there. It was all down towards Flower Street.
Right. The project's still in construction, so not officially yet. The headwalls need to go in.
Just concerned.
Yeah. And the pumping that's going on is there in part to keep the project dewatered. Although I don't know how they could possibly do that on a weather day like today. But I wouldn't read too much into the way that water's flowing based on just today.
It's really restrictive.
Yeah, it's really restrictive. Okay. But there's also going to be some work that we're going to be doing in the branch further down from the project that will help make the water flow even better. We're just doing some coordination with property owners to make sure that they're comfortable with what we're doing.
How much longer?
I would say probably another 2 to 3 weeks. A lot of that depends on the weather. The next challenge we're going to get into is how we're going to pave the road, because the asphalt plants typically close up February, March, but we're hoping to at least get what we'll call it a base coat down before it gets too challenging.
I remember looking at the design, but what goes on the edge of the road where the ditches are?
What goes on the edge?
A guard, any type of guard.
Well, around the culvert, there's the head walls that go in.
Okay.
We are putting in, I think they're called gambions, along one part of the branch. They're basically those chicken wire devices that you put stones in to help shore up the edge of the branch. So we'll be doing that. And then remember, when we're talking about the curb and how we're softening the curb, we'll be doing some shoring up work along the edges of the branch as part of that project as well.
But it is a guard going up.
Do you mean like pedestrians? Protecting pedestrians?
Let me look at the plans. I'm not positive.
But something needs to be done there. Yeah. If we don't have something.
Yeah, let me double check the plans. I'm not positive before I answer, and I'll get back
That's
to you.
That's the question.
But there was a guard before.
There was a guard before.
Right. We'll make sure it's safe. I need to check the plans.
Again, just bring a picture.
Sure. I'll get back to you.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Thank you. Is that it?
That's it for me.
Okay. All right. I just like to follow up on the motion that we passed at the last council meeting to form a committee to establish policies for naming public properties for the town of Berlin. I think it's a very good concept, and I think that the committee that won't be on a deadline, I know that they'll be as expedient as possible, but the most important thing is that it'll be as thorough as possible, coming up with policies that will apply to a variety of potential situations for not just parks, but other publicly owned property. So I'd like to make the recommendation for 6 voting members and 2 administrative members. Of course, as part of the motion that was made, that the 6 voting members include
both council members, Dean Burrell and Zach Tindall, and as the motion also stated, Billy Todd, who's the renaming petition organizer, and Mike Wiley, from the Berlin Parks Commission Chair, and Terrell Rose, the Berlin Historic Commission Chair, and Heather Layton, who is the Berlin Arts and Entertainment Committee Chair, which is a nonprofit and also a downtown business, Berlin business owner. The two administrative members I would like the council to consider appointing are Laura Allen, the town administrator, and David Gaskell, the town attorney, because obviously in anything like this, there's always going to be, what does the law allow? What is it? What is possible and what is not, and all that sort of thing. And if you approve, this will allow the town administrator to be actually sort of the coordinator, start communications, make sure that everybody, first of all, finds some dates that suit all the numbers. And I would ask you also to consider, I think the chances of tie votes as it progresses and policy, when policy is considered, are remote, but if they do happen, I would suggest and ask your approval that we let Laura be a tiebreaker, but only in those cases, just so the process keeps moving forward and we don't get hung up on one thing in a multi-phase project and recommendation. And again, whenever you all feel, the folks on the committee feel that you're comfortable with the recommendations, then you would just tell Laura, would just make sure that she lets me know, we get you on the agenda, and we bring forth it at that time. And then that way, the entire council gets a chance to review it and ask questions if you have it, and operate just like any other new ordinance or resolution. So that's my suggestion.
Does it need a motion? Or is it?
Go ahead.
Okay. We have a motion by Council Member Purnell to approve the 6 voting members and 2 administrative members of what we're calling the Naming Parks and Public Spaces Committee. Naming Parks and Public Spaces Committee. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Thank you very much. And that way, you all can get to it at your earliest convenience. I don't want you to feel pressured. But I do know that there is, I think, every single member is very enthusiastic about the participation. Thank you.
Okay.
Next, do we have any comments from the council?
Yes. On January 17th, I attended the Eastern Shore Association of Municipalities. Wow. Dinner in, I believe it was Canada, I believe. And the MML has a few things for this legislative session. I brought a card for the press in case they want it. I'll set it in the back. On the agenda is highway user revenues, how they can keep that funding in the budget process, stormwater management fees, which I think we're ahead of already, and the coordination of local and state construction projects. So that's all I have.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nothing?
I don't know.
I'm good.
Okay. Do we have any comments from anyone in the audience who wishes to address the council? Or yes, sir.
I just got a quick question.
Sure.
Jerome Wharton Jr. just listened to the council tonight. Just say I wanted to not finance 4 EDUs, just purchase them. And as far as I heard Hugh Cropper talk about the campground, they have different sizes for the EDUs. As far as to each member on the council, how knowledgeable are you about the EDUs as far as the council members? If you came up, how knowledgeable are the council members as far as what you were saying about the EDUs? How knowledgeable is each council member on the EDUs as far as size, you know, requirements, the gallons, as far as EDUs thing? You know what I'm saying, Dave?
Well, every EDU is 250 gallons.
And it's been that way
for, EDU.
For at least a decade.
That's per day. It's 250 per day.
And that is based on the state and I assume also the federal standard, so that no matter where you go, you're talking about the same thing.
Right.
Kind of like.
Yeah, that's the regulations are passed on to municipal and county governments by MDE.
Okay. So, as far as a campground, that's different. If I want to go outside over to, like, say, my grandfather's over to, like, their 60-some acres, that'd be something different.
Well, it depends on what your use is going to be.
Okay.
I believe a campground has less, each particular campsite, and I feel rather uncomfortable answering your question because that proposed campground site is outside town limits. But I think they're like 0.5 EDU for each site, I think.
Okay, that's good. I'm good, G. Thank you. I'm good. I agree. That's good.
And also, on our town website, you can search under the code and the charter to be able to find more information. Like, if you were going to build, like, a commercial building, there's a formula for that, and there's more information available.
Yeah, it's all dependent on the use. A single-family dwelling is one EDU, 250 gallons a day. If you have a more intensive use, then you would need more than one EDU, or perhaps multiple EDUs. Depending on what you use.
Good enough. Thank you.
And there's a manual put out by the MDE, which determines what it is. I had one today, a hair salon with so many stations. You're going to be more than a house. It was going to be three EDUs because based on the occupancy, it could be 50 people a day getting their hair washed and then the cleaning. Restaurants will be a higher use because of all the pots and pans and dishes they have to wash. The more seats in a restaurant, the more EDU. So, and the campgrounds are a less intense use.
Right.
So I don't know, I can't quote you that manual right now, but Dave's correct. It would be lower than if we had a bunch of little houses there. They wouldn't. Every campsite's not going to be one EDU. The use isn't there, according to MDE.
What about a 10-car garage, Dave?
Again, it would depend if you had. Is it you're talking about a commercial garage?
Yeah, or out of town limits. So, yeah, so well, play around with.
Again, I don't want to comment out of town limits too, but I would say, depending on what you have there, if there's a shower and fixtures, and what the public occupancy is, it could be more than one EDU. But in general, that would be one EDU. If it's a car wash.
No car wash.
Whole other story.
No car wash.
But, Jerome.
Yes.
Just like we did with the Barrett building this evening, after you move into a place, your use or use is monitored, and sometimes it has to be adjusted up, and sometimes it has to be adjusted down.
Okay, just like they didn't use it for EDU,
yeah.
So they can be transferred,
yeah.
If their business don't work out like it's supposed to.
Yeah.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Do any other comments from anyone in the audience? Or anybody wish to come to help? Any comments or questions from the press?
Move to adjourn.
Thank you very much for coming out and bringing out the
archives, folks. You're bringing the archives, folks, in. So we'll do the determine your data. All right.
They don't charge for a key either.
You make sure when you're going over the W-2s, can you make sure my vacation's correct?
Yes, be correct.
Okay, hold on one second. I want to give you
the hands being correct.
Oh, yeah.
I can't see.
Oh, I'm like,
that sucks.